Welcome to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashland Dave, and I'm recording live from my podcast studio in Ashland, Virginia. Thanks for coming along. And this is Ashland Dave, and this is the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast number 182. It's the week of, August 27th, 2013. I'm coming at you from Ashland, Virginia, the center of the universe, Central Virginia. And thanks for coming along. If you're a returning listener, thanks for coming back. Appreciate it. And if you're a new listener, I hope you stick around for the whole show and download additional shows in the future. I got a whole stack of stuff for this show. I'm probably going to go the full 30 to 40 minutes. May go beyond that, not sure. This is, as promised from the earlier show, this is going to be the email bag section of the show first, and then I'll follow up with a race report from Patrick Henry Half Marathon that took place this week, past weekend here in the center of the universe. And within that, I'll probably include Dr. Smitty's race report and an outstanding half marathon time, as did Steve Buani, who's a new listener to the show, a relatively new listener to the show. He's been interviewed here on the show before, and he's done a couple half marathons already. So we're glad to have him along as a regular listener. But the first thing I want to talk about is had a run interrupted the other day. It was kind of interesting. I got out on Sunday morning trying to get a 6-miler in because I'm in marathon training now for Richmond, I guess, and I really need to get my weekend runs up. So I just started to start with a 6-miler. I couldn't run Saturday morning because I helped with the water stop at the Patrick Henry Half, and I'll get to that later in the show. But since I'm on call for work this week, what I decided to do was just do a 1/2 mile out and back to the house, and then 1/2 mile out and back to the house, which would make 6. That way, if I got a call on the cell phone and had to go into work, I wasn't too far from home. So I go out and do my 1.5 miles. I'm on my way back. I'm about 2 blocks from home, and I'm running down Center Street, which is it's kind of like the main drag through town where all the turn-of-the-century antique or older homes are, and that's where the railroad tracks go through. And some friend of ours who live on the west side of the tracks had a huge branch fall from an oak tree in their front yard and crushed the back of their minivan, shattered the back windshield, looked like the whole back door was caved, the whole back hatch was caved in, and looked like the frame was crushed a little bit on the driver's side. And there didn't seem to be anybody around it, so I went over and took a look, and I saw another neighbor named John that lived around the corner. He was kind of looking at it, and I was asking him, hey, Buddha and Jen live there, and Buddha is a guy that I've been camping with before, and the reason he goes by Buddha is because he kind of, I guess in a way, kind of looks like Buddha, Buddha statue. I guess that's why I got the nickname. Anyway, that's what everybody calls them, real nice people. But anyway, they obviously didn't know that this had happened, so I went home, and I didn't go up and knock on the door, because it was, probably 8:15 in the morning. I went home and called them and told them about it, and they weren't aware. So I went ahead and got my saw, my chainsaw, and went on over there, and we cut it up, and that took about an hour. And needless to say, I didn't make mass that morning, because they wouldn't be able to get their car, either car, out of the driveway, because they parked single file in their driveway. They wouldn't have been able to get out either car unless we moved this, cut this branch off from the top of the car. And needless to say, they needed to get the car repaired. And so when I got back, and of course I got sawdust and stuff and crap all over me, I was still in my running gear. Got my, you know, my shoes all dirty. So I went home, and I thought, you know, I could probably take a real quick shower and be late for church, but our priest has already kind of told people he don't want them coming in late. So I just decided to finish my run, and so I did the other 3 miles with sawdust all over me. And anyway, I felt really good about helping some people out, and I know that they would do the same for me. So anyway, that was just kind of like run interrupted. I guess I could have done the full 6 miles had I not found the tree branch. I'm not sure. So what I did yesterday, I went out and tried to do 5, and that was kind of hard. So I'm not sure if I could have made the whole 6, although just 2 weeks ago, I was able to cover 50K somehow. I'm not really sure how that happened. So let's go ahead and get into the email bag section of the show. And the reason for that is I don't want to miss anything. What happens is I tend to skip the email bag section of the show if I go too long. So let's just jump right into that and see who checked in. Some of these are kind of old. This one from Steve goes all the way back to July 7th. And Steve is sharing that he ran his first half marathon, which was the Virginia Wine Country half marathon back in early June. He ran a 1:55.05, which was comfortably under his 2-hour goal, which was outstanding, Steve, for your first half marathon. He said there were about 2,500 people waiting to start the race, and he said there were no porta potties, which is very interesting. Also, he had earned $2,000 for the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation of America, which is his charity, and that's what we talked about back several shows ago when I interviewed Steve for the show. You can go to AshlandDave.podme.com and check that out if you're interested. It's a real good interview. So that's awesome, Steve. Over $2,000. Hopefully, somebody from who listens to the show looked you up on that. He said he just ran for him that day. He said, funny how in the first half of the race, everyone had their headphones on, but in the last 3 miles, when he was really pushing to keep his pace, people started wanting to talk to him. He said, let me know if you need a running buddy anytime. Well, you know, Steve, that's very possible. I might give you a call. I'm not really sure what your running schedule is during the week, but I do run in the early afternoon. And then on Saturday mornings, generally, I'm out there on a run, and sometimes I'm with the group. So maybe we can exchange some emails and get something worked out, because I know you live here in town. And I'm really glad you listened to the show, and I can't say enough how much I appreciate you being out there at the 50K. A little embarrassed that I kind of forgot that you were going to be there because I got behind on the emails, but I'll talk about that when I get to your next one here. Also heard from David Williams down under, and he, back in late July, he said he'd returned from a visit to Vietnam, which was really interesting but very hot. He's said his running's going well. He's still planning the 200K charity run is on schedule, even though the training through the winter is tough. But to raise all the money to cure cancer is worth it. And, yeah, we're in the hot summer months here in Ashland, as you mentioned, David. So, and it's been pretty brutal. But anyway, Dave says that in May of 2014, he's going to be coming to the U.S. to catch up with his wife's brother in Philadelphia. And they're planning a trip around Utah, Arizona, and Colorado. And he was trying to find out if we could join up somewhere. And that would be kind of hard for me, David, to get out west. And I told you that in an email. And it's, of course, it's nothing personal. I have not planned to run any races out that way. I think if I did go out west, I'd probably go to California and do the Big Sur Marathon as a destination. But that doesn't mean that would never happen. So let's keep that in mind as we navigate through life, and maybe, you know, at some point in time we definitely will cross paths. I really do appreciate the email, and your second email. He said you were listening to the show and you were ashamed to hear me talk about it, an email I got from you which you had forgot sending. So you definitely dementia hits Flinders Island down under, and yeah, I'm disappointed too that we won't have an opportunity to run together. But, you know, someday in the future, that's very possible that could happen, and, you know, don't count it out. But thank you so much for checking in and keeping me updated with your progress. I'm trying to remember when your 200K charity run is. I think it's this fall. If you would send me an email real quick and remind me of that event. I've got your links buried somewhere, but maybe if you can send those to me, I can put them in this show before I produce it. Got another email from Steve, and this was the one where he said he and a friend was going to swing up to King George to check out the race because neither one of them had been to an ultra before, and he was asking to do a carpool. Steve, apologize afterwards here. When I saw you out on the course, I was all of a sudden it dawned on me that I'd gotten that email, as you can see, I was probably pretty self-centered leading up to the race. So my apologies to you. It was really cool to see a friendly face at just about every aid station. And so I was kind of curious what you thought of the whole ultra event there. You can see it's a lot smaller than any half marathon or marathon. And I noticed that you had a buddy up there. I was kind of curious what he thought of it. So it was really nice to see you out there, and certainly appreciate you being there. Also heard from Sandy. Sandy's got a busy fall coming up. In September, she's doing 5 marathons in 5 days. And I can't remember the name of that, but it's an event up in, I think, the Midwest, if I'm not mistaken, where you can get 3 states in, I think, out of the 5. I'm not really sure if you're a 50-stater. It's an event where you can get several states in during the course of a few days. She said that she's been out doing some camping and went to a kayaking symposium in the UP this month, which I'm guessing means the Upper Peninsula. I'm not sure if that's what that means, but it was up on Lake Superior, and I'm guessing that's UP is probably local talk for folks that live up in Michigan. And she tried something new with her husband up there. They did stand-up paddle boarding, which was a lot of fun. She suggested to try it to get a chance to try it. Last year, Sandy, when I was down in the Outer Banks of North Carolina, that was something that we looked into and we're going to do it. But we ended up going crabbing instead because my daughter didn't want to do the paddle boarding. We're trying to do everything together. And so maybe I should just take it upon myself. But I did notice that it's kind of expensive. I was a little disappointed in the cost because down in the Outer Banks you have the Sound, and then the ocean is east, and then you have the Barrier Island, and then the Sound on the inside, and that's where they do the paddle boarding. But anyway, Sandy says running's been going great. She had an amazing 50K training run the other day. This was back in late July. And she said that she was due for just 24 miles, but it felt great to do the extra to get to the 50K. And she said she can't say I've ever just added 7 miles on my run before. And back in late July, she said less than 3 weeks to the Beast of Burden 100, which is near Buffalo, New York. So I looked that up. That was on August 17th. And they don't have the 2013 summer results posted. So I don't know how you did, Sandy. I would think, I've actually gotten off Facebook at this point. I feel like there's too much data mining going on and with stuff online, and it's nothing against Facebook. I just don't have the time to keep checking it. It's really just, I don't even have enough time or desire to check emails, you know, every hour, and it's nothing against the people that send me emails. I've just got too much other stuff going on. With volunteer work I'm doing and my own training and regular work. So anyway, send me an email, Sandy, if you would, and tell me how you did, or better yet, send me a text. I think you've got my number because I'm curious. They didn't have the results posted. And one other thing that Sandy put in her email, she sent me a picture of a friend of her. She and a friend of hers that did a trail half marathon when they went camping, and her friend had never done a trail race before, just only a few half marathons. They both had so much fun, and then they ran in together, and her friend just grabbed her hand and they crossed the finish line together. And she sent me a real cool picture of that. So Sandy, appreciate that. It really puts a mental image with the description you gave, and as always, it's great to hear from you. Let's see, I heard back from Steve. I had talked about the chafing issue, and he wears Nike Combat compression shorts, which I'm going to save this email and check on that. So Steve, appreciate that tip. Exchanged several emails with Neil Richard back and forth on the Dahlgren Heritage 50K. He took a couple pictures, which when I passed him, I remember that he had a camera, and he snapped a couple pictures, and he sent those to me. It's kind of funny how... you know, it's always interesting to see yourself when you're out on the race course because, you know, you never really do. And anyway, thanks for the recommendation on the race, Neil. Really appreciate it. It's always good to know somebody up that way. And I appreciate those pictures. And later in my email list stack of stuff here, I've got another one from Steve, Neil, so I'm going to check on that. Heard from Alex down in Arizona, which I hadn't heard from him in a while, and it was really nice to do that. Pretty appreciate you still listening to the show, Alex. He said it was 119 degrees down there in Phoenix the other day. This was back in July. He said he's trying not to lose his base over the summer, and he was going to go do a it's called the 4th of July 4-miler. It's just what he did, and I just don't know how you run. He said it starts at 6 a.m., but even that early, it's hot. Not really sure how you deal with that down there. I guess if that's the only conditions that you know, then you just get used to it. But I know it's a dry heat, if I'm not mistaken. And he lives in the general area where they had a tragedy where there's 19 firefighters got killed. So sad, very devastating. Totally agree with that. Let's see, he sent me a race report to a 65K that he did. It was called the Insomniac Series. And I'm going to link to this in my podcast, which was at ashlanddave.podbean.com. This is an excellent, excellent race report, and it's not so long where you can't read it in just a few minutes and then move on to something else. It's really cool, and I'm going to put that in the link. So make sure you check that out at ashlanddave.podbean.com. Alex, thanks so much for listening to the show. And yeah, it looks like you said on a side note, you made a trip up north a week or so ago. You're going along Route 66 and you saw two trains pass each other going the opposite direction, which was pretty cool. He said hearing the train in the podcast made you remember that. I'd like my daughters to witness that someday. Well, I tell you, Alex, yeah, you can't just sit by railroad tracks, that's for sure, and wait for that to happen. Sometimes it's just a chance thing. It only happens every so often here in Ashland. And when it does, it's kind of a neat thing. And I know that when people are waiting in their car, waiting for the crossing, and the one train gets ready to wrap up, and then the other one's coming the opposite direction, and then they have to sit there for another few minutes. I know that pisses a lot of people off, but in some ways, it's kind of a special thing that happens somewhere where you see it, as opposed to, I'm sure it happens all the time out in rural areas when trains are out on their destinations, but it's kind of neat to have it happen right here in town. So I'll keep your email here. I'll put that link in the show notes so other people can look at your race report. Okay, well, I heard in the last show I had put out that a question, and that question was what you thought about people who in ultramarathons, if you have experience running ultramarathons, what you think about people who you pace and they're running your pace, they're walking when you walk, they're running when you run, and you're talking and you're kind of enjoying the camaraderie, and then they do that mad dash to the finish at the end. And then don't really say anything to you after the race, after you've kind of established this, race course friendship. And I got some emails on that, and I'm going to share these. And I'm not gonna be biased either way. I'm going to try to keep my bias out of it. I've already shared that in the last show. So listen to podcast 181 if you're interested in knowing my exact opinion on this. And I got some different opinions and some emails. So the first one's from Scott Johnson, who has a really cool podcast that has nothing to do with running. It's about computers, and it's a real short 10 to 15 minute show. He puts out a new one every Monday morning, and I always download it. I listen to each one. Sometimes the topic applies to my life. Other times it doesn't. Sometimes it's just something that I don't do on the computer. Other times it is, and it's a really cool show. And you can find that at computertutorflorida.com. I get nothing for promoting that podcast. It's only because it's something I enjoy. And the reason I like it so much is because I can listen to it on my iPod when I'm out running, and it has nothing to do with running. So it kind of gets a different part of my brain going. But anyway, Scott writes, good show as always. Hey, Dave, but I have to disagree with you about the lady that went ahead of you at the finish. Like you, I am happy to help anyone along the way that might need or want my help. But I wouldn't feel like they owe me anything. I mean, if someone is close to getting a PR, wouldn't you want them to get that even though they did so partially with your assistance? This might especially be true if it's their first ultra, which I think I heard you say she was new to ultra marathons. I love helping people, but I wouldn't want to have another runner feel obligated to go slower than they are able just to let me cross the finish line at the same time. Just my two cents. Thanks again for your podcast, Scott Johnson, host of the weekly Computer Tutor podcast, which you can find at computertutorflorida.com. I definitely recommend you check that out. And Scott, yes, you're absolutely right. I like your opinion on that, and it definitely gave me something else to think about. And let's hear from Neil. A couple things. He said, as for the lady sprinting at the finish, all I can do is shake my head and hope somebody tells her what she did was wrong and why. I've only encountered her once and had my fill from just sitting near her for an hour. And Neil threw a bunch of other stuff in there about the race, which I'll get. Let me go ahead and talk about that now since I'm at it. He said he also commented on the leaders. He said they were a bit snotty, but that's my experience at some races, but not all. I think it just depends on the runner and the race. I've had some do the same when they just ignore me, while others give me some sort of greeting. For example, head nod, wave, good job, etc. He says, I've noticed that the further back in the pack the runners are, the more polite they are, maybe because they can better appreciate the extra effort it takes to finish these things. And then he gave me some tips on chafing. So thank you. Yeah, Neil, good. Like your opinion on that as well. You know, everybody's got an opinion on this thing, and it's just interesting. I've obviously gotten over it, but it just kind of ticked me off on race day that, you know, you kind of help somebody out, and I don't know, I guess a simple thank you would have been really all that I wanted. I don't know. So let's see. I got another opinion in here, but first of all, I want to talk I'll get to Dr. Smitty's email, which is the race report. Heard from Tom Mueller, who's got his own blog at mastercompetitor.blogspot.com. I've talked about his blog before. He's always got a very interesting perspective on situations, and I think. And he's got a great comment in his email, so I'm going to say, I'll just read it here. It says, Dave, I enjoyed your tale about the ultra woman bursting ahead with 150 yards to go to, quote, beat you at the finish. This may be the appropriate time to inject one of my favorite sayings, quote, we can't control other people, unquote. Tom goes on to write, I think this sort of behavior has become more prevalent as entrants bleed into ultra running from road runs and triathlon, for example. Hasn't someone elbowed you out of the way in the finish shoot of a marathon for 497th place? It's all rather silly, but in purest form, and this is the best part of his email, is in the purest form, ultra running is about respecting nature, the course, and fellow competitors. But this isn't a perfect world, and some joker will always try to one-up you at the finish in both ultras and all other forms of human interaction. And I emailed him back, and then he said he looks forward to listening to the show. And he said, FYI, we get some of the same thing in our cycling group. It's always a race to the top of the next hill, even if you drop back to draft with slower riders. And Tom's absolutely right on that. There's really, people are always, you can't control other people. I guess in some ways, I like when I do an ultra marathon, especially when I'm getting ready to finish, I kind of want things to mold into my expectation of what an ultra marathon is, or what I believe it should be. And there's another thing that I don't quite understand. There's a guy that I'm not going to mention his name because I know some listeners on the show are going to know him. And he lives in Hanover. He's an ultra runner. He's an accomplished ultra runner, multiple 100s. And I've seen him at races. And for some reason, I don't understand why he doesn't say anything to me. I've said hello to him before. You know, when you see the same person at ultra marathons that you go to, you see the same person that you know lives back where you live, and you see the same people at multiple races, ultra marathons, you tend to, you know, introduce yourself or at least say something to those people because you see them at multiple races. And it's not like you're standing around in a group of 500 people. I mean, sometimes you're standing around in a group of about 30 or 40 people, and you know, people talk, and I just don't quite understand that. But Tom, I really did enjoy your comments. Thank you for including those. Appreciate it. Last one on the comments on the running came from Tim Cleary. Bello Runs. He's got his own blog, and I think I've. Trying to remember. Just look up ABULO Runs, and he's got a blog as well. I've linked to it before. Maybe if I can find the link, I'll do it again. He also had an opinion on the whole ultra running camaraderie and the etiquette, and I'll include this. Dave, I listened to the latest podcast while out on a long trail run, and I agree wholeheartedly with you about the poor etiquette shown by the runner that was with you on the ultra. Should have asked you if it was okay for her to run ahead. A couple weeks ago, I was running a trail half and I paced another runner doing the first trail half for 10 miles. She stayed right behind me and walked when I walked. We talked the entire time. At mile 11 and a half, she said she was feeling good and asked if she could go ahead. I told her to go at her pace. She went ahead and finished a few minutes ahead of me. At the finish line, she found me and thanked me for pacing her. Both of us felt good about our runs. I hate hearing them about and seeing runners that get so wrapped up in finishing they don't acknowledge or thank other runners. I believe in enjoying the run and the camaraderie of fellow runners. Thanks for the great podcast. Cheers, Tim Cleary, Abuelo Runs. Tim, that's exactly what I'm talking about. No, she did not. I did not need to give permission for anybody. However, I guess all I really wanted was a thank you at the end for getting her to her first ultra. And, you know, it's one thing when you're out there on the trail with a couple hours with somebody and then they just kind of dust you at the end and then don't say anything to you. It's kind of like unfinished business, or you're kind of left hanging. And no, I never expect anybody to ask me permission to do anything. However, there's just maybe a little unwritten rule, I guess, that some ultra runners have, that if you catch up with somebody and you kind of carry their ass for a while, you know, i.e. 2 hours plus, that when you get to the finish, you know, you at least have some interaction maybe at the finish line, and instead of just dust running ahead at a sprint and not saying anything at the end. Now, you know, if you have that much energy at the end, then how come you're sucking ass, you know, for the last 2 hours? I guess that's the thing I don't understand. So anyway, those are the opinions of some other listeners, and I respect all opinions, of course, and gave me a lot of food for thought. And in some ways, maybe I thought I overreacted, but you know, this is a podcast, and I got to talk about something, and so that's what I talked about. And I got some interesting feedback, and of course, I really do appreciate that. And I guess what Tim wrote in his email. And he says, you know, I believe in enjoying the run and the camaraderie of fellow runners. And really, that's what I do, too. I do admit I go out there with my iPod, and I have that as a crutch to fall back on if I just need to mentally get away for a little bit, you know, from other people, from the race course, from what I'm out there doing, just to kind of get my mojo back. And sometimes I do that because, you know, let's face it, a lot of times I end up by myself because I'm, you know, one of the middle of the packers, back of the packers type. So I do end up by myself. So I end up running into these people that are, you know, like-minded like me, back of the pack, middle of the pack. And that's where some of this camaraderie develops. You know, complete opposite of the camaraderie I developed with that CD. You know, I walk away with a very positive feeling from that whole interaction. And if I was to run into her at another running ultra run again, which is very possible, sounds like she's pretty busy, I'd be very apt to go up and talk to her and, you know, talk about that old race. Or if I saw this other person, I would probably say hello, but frankly, there's really nothing positive to talk about because it was kind of a negative thing. So I think at this point, unless any new other listeners email in and listen to episode 181 and then want to email in, I'm going to pretty much move away from that topic. And as always, really do appreciate all the emails on that. Tim, Richard, and Tom, really do appreciate that. And because it gives me stuff to talk about in the show. All right, well, let's get into the Patrick Henry race report and half marathon report, which is a lot of going to be really cool. I've got really a whole stack of stuff on that too. And so it looks like the show is probably going to go probably past 40 minutes. So let's get into that race report. All right, the Patrick Henry Half Marathon was held start and finish lines a half mile from my house right here in the center of the universe, Ashland, Virginia. It was August 24th, 2013. And I worked the water stop just shy of the 11-mile mark. And the reason I didn't run the race, and I've mentioned this before, is because I was on call for work last weekend and all this week, and that just prohibits running a half marathon unless it was a 1 mile circle where I could get home, get cleaned up, changed, and head out if I get a call. And so the half marathon was just, I couldn't do it. It's the first year I haven't run it. It was the seventh year of the race. I've run all six and missed the seventh, but I did participate and I got a shirt. So I worked at the water stop at the 11-mile mark, and my good friend Stephanie Medlin, who's a fellow runner here in town, does most of the events around here. She's been working a water stop out there ever since the beginning of this race. And she was looking for help, and I told her, well, hell, you know, I'll certainly be there if I'm not out on anything with work. And I could ride my bike to that water stop, and if I got a call, I could get home with no problem. So that's what I went ahead and did, and I was able to get out there. And it was really cool because our water stop was in the shade. Although it was a gorgeous morning, if you weren't running, if you were running, you could tell it was humid because the people that ran through our water stop were just absolutely, you know, just soaked. You know, where the moisture's not wicking away or anything like that. So the water stop was just shy of the 11-mile mark. We had multiple bleeders come through. I actually was wearing my Nip Guards t-shirt because I like to promote good nipple management. And so I wear the Nip Guards shirt whenever I can, and it's to get people's attention. So that, oh, what's that? Oh yeah, Nip Guards. Yeah, that's what I need to get. Well, there were multiple bleeders that came through our water stop. And one of Stephanie's kids was there, and she's going into fourth grade, so I guess that makes her probably almost 9 or 9 years old. And I remember hearing her ask her mom, you know, Mom, all these men have got these big red splotches on their shirts. What happened? Is that paint? And it was blood, and it was just gross. And I've said, men, you know, take care of your nipples. I promote good nipple management. Don't subject small children to that, because it's creepy, and it's kind of hard to walk around with some self-respect, even if you do finish the race. It's kind of hard to walk around with self-respect at the end if you've got these huge red marks on your yellow shirt, your white shirt, your blue shirt, or whatever. Or if you're a bleeder, wear dark colors, or better yet, wear duct tape or Nip Guards. So, yeah, we had multiple bleeders come through, total rookie mistake. Day like that where the humidity's up, you know, the you're just going to get a good rub all day, and you're going to bleed if you don't take precautions. So yeah, I was wearing the Nip Guard shirt, and I saw when the race, I got up to the starting line right after the race started. I just couldn't get out of the house, and the race takes a little bit of 1 mile loop through the town before it starts to head out, and that's to get everybody across this main section pretty much all at one time, so the police can open the road back up. And saw Dr. Smitty just after the 1 mile mark, and I guess he saw the shirt because he sent me his race report, he told me he liked the shirt. So it was good to see him. And we'll see in his race report, he stayed at a hotel, an old hotel that was right on the railroad tracks, and he said he didn't really get too much sleep, but we'll get to his race report in a few minutes. For the whole race, because we saw every runner come through the 11-mile mark, I only saw two people out of over, I think it was about 1,250 runners that actually showed up. Only two were wearing the first year shirt. And I remember last year I wore the first year shirt or the year before that? And somebody kind of made fun of me, like, where'd you get that shirt? I'm like, dude, this is the first year shirt. And, you know, I'm wearing the first year shirt. So I saw two guys wearing the first year shirt. And, of course, I called him out and told him well done on that. Our water stop, for some reason, had the Powerade and the water reversed. You always have water is the first table at an aid station or water stop. That's just kind of how it is. And if you want additional stuff, then you got to keep going to the next table. Then usually the tables are kind of in a line. You might have multiple tables with each type of drink. Well, whoever got there before Stephanie showed up, because she was the captain, somebody got there before her, who we're not going to mention, and got that reversed by accident, I think, and didn't read the instructions. So anyway, that was kind of funny, because a lot of people were coming up wanting to know where the Powerade was, and like, that dude, you ran right past it. If you want to turn around and go back 20 feet, otherwise you can, you know. Then I was telling them what's a mile down the road at water stop 12, because they had another water Powerade stop at 12. You can get it down there. Let's see, saw plenty of folks I knew, just to mention a couple. Obviously Dr. Smitty, he did really well. Saw Ashland Bob, he was with Kevin, who was running his second half marathon, his first one being last year's Patrick Henry half marathon. I had the pleasure of running with him. Gosh, I can't even read the rest here. Tamara, Rodney, the Spences, Carter Spence, who's 14, was the only one in his age group. And I think it was the second half marathon. He's only 14. No, he's 13, I think. 13 or 14. And saw several others. Tom Hatz, Craig Hatz. Craig ran her first Ironman last year. We followed her online. That was pretty exciting. Or no, earlier this year down in Florida, I think. Countless other people that I knew. And it was kind of cool. And I'm not trying to brag here, but I was pretty much the only one at our water stop that knew people running the race, and or at least saw them. And they were, and that, to me, working a water stop is so much fun, as long as you can detach yourself from wanting to run the race. For example, I was not injured, so I didn't have any kind of race envy. I just I couldn't run the race because I had to trade out some other things that were just had a little higher priority for me this month. One being I was going camping at a bluegrass festival. We had my wife's relatives here from Italy for 2 weeks. And then I had the weekend of the 3rd of August where I ran the 50K. And then I was on call. So if I was going to switch my on-call weekend, I would have had to switch with somebody who was going to want to switch it with one of those weekends. They wouldn't want to switch it with a weekend where after school had started. And so I was just kind of stuck, and so something had to give, and that was the participating in the half marathon, which was okay. So I didn't have any kind of race envy or anything, so I was really able to have a good time. And I just saw tons of people that I knew. Shelly Klinger, saw her. She listens to the podcast, or at least she used to. I'm not sure if she still does. And it's great to see her out there still doing these events, because I had the pleasure of running with Shelly with her first half marathon and was her coach when she did her first half marathon, which was the Patrick Henry half. And gosh, that was back, I want to say 2008 or 2009. I think it was 2008 or 2009. Yeah. So yeah, Shelly, way to keep going. It's just great to see you out there. And I wish we could have spent more time talking, but I know that you're in the middle of a race. So let's get to Dr. Smitty's race report. And this was a great race report because Greg is a contender. He's a competitor, and he's got a lot of talent, and he's doing the Rock and Roll Half Marathon next week. So I'm just gonna kind of pull out some excerpts here. And let's see what he has to say here. Earlier, and I'm reading from his email here. Hey, Dave, earlier this week I was trying to decide how fast to run the race. So I went on a 6 mile run at a 7:40 pace that I thought was a little tough. So I decided a 7:45 pace would be good since I haven't done any speed work all year. I drove up Friday. He lives in the Chesapeake area. I got up Friday, drove up Friday, got caught in a massive rainstorm, going about 30 miles per hour on the interstate, could barely see. I stayed at the Henry Clay Inn. And a little side note here, the Henry Clay Inn, which unfortunately is closing later this year, is a historic building in Ashland. It's a bed and breakfast. It's pretty cool. I've been to wedding receptions there, and it is literally right at the train station. So yeah, so anyway, after he checked in at the Henry Clay Inn, he saw Tom Grant and his family. That's Ashland Tom. We talked for a bit, and he asked if I was going to be able to sleep through the trains. And I went and signed up for the race and picked up dinner at Subway. But Tom was right. I could not sleep through the trains, but I did enjoy being that close to the start-finish area. I looked for Tom before the race, but I couldn't find him anywhere. A little side note here. Yeah, the Henry Clay Inn is literally, 0.1 miles from the start-finish area, if not closer. And the reason he didn't see Tom before the race, Greg, is because he was doing the Patrick Henry half that he had to cut off a few miles because of time. So he was out. He did 10 to 11 miles before the race on the route, had to cut off a little bit of it, and then he went and started. So that's probably why he didn't see him. He might have just been bringing up the rear. Getting back to the report, it was a little chilly without my shirt, but much better than the heat. I saw some Virginia Beach friends before the start, and we were off. First few miles were very easy, even though we were running about a 7:35 pace. I decided to try and stick with that pace. The race was rather uneventful through mile 8. Then some people that started out too fast were slowing down. One guy named Jerry, that everyone seemed to know, was mad that I was passing him. He picked up his pace and stayed on my left shoulder, but his breathing was so heavy I thought he was going to pass out. But finally, he dropped at the 10-mile water stop. When I saw you, I was averaging a 7:26 pace, but it felt really easy. I decided to kick it in at the big hill, passed around 15 people. I liked your Nip Guard shirt, by the way. Finished strong in 1:36:59 for a 7:24 pace, which means my last 2 miles were the fastest. So he said, I checked my other Patrick Henry times. They've all been between 1:36:33, 1:36:59, pretty consistent except for the year I ran with his son. He's running Rock and Roll next weekend for the 10th time in a row. That's the big Virginia Beach half marathon. It's huge down there. He says, probably my last time. I enjoy Patrick Henry much more than Rock and Roll. Sorry for the long report, and I'll catch up with you later. Well, you know, Greg, with you saying that about how you like the Patrick Henry half more, I'm going to make sure that I'm not on call or not or unavailable for this race next year, and that way we can get everybody together that Friday evening and go out to Anthony's and get pasta or whatever with Tom and some of the others and drink a few beers, and then you know, meet up after the race and do more of the same. I really did regret not hooking up with you. I know that you drive up and you've been up here for the last couple of years for the race, and you know, we've made you an honorary Ashland American because of that, and I know you like coming up for the railroad run, so I really do regret not getting a chance to hang out with you. I know you had to leave right after the race, and I, you know, I was hung up at the water stop down there until the last runner came through, and then I rode my bike to the end, but I know that you had to leave. So really do appreciate the race report and you taking the time to send that. I think I had another one from you here. Yeah, I was able to find you. Okay, that was just the same thing. So anyway, that's the Patrick Henry Half Marathon. Thanks again to Greg for the race report. And, of course, saw Steve Buoni out there. He ran a 1:52, which is just awesome for, I think that was your second half marathon, wasn't it, Steve? And kudos to Kevin, Kevin Proffitt for running his second half marathon. And, you know, hats off to Ash and Bob for helping him out. So that's about it from Center of the Universe for this week. And I'd like to invite you back for the next podcast, which will be out in probably 2 weeks. This is Ashland Dave. I'm running in the center of the universe, Ashland, Virginia, reminding you to run to the finish, keep on running, and don't forget to hug your kids. Y'all have a good week.